Welcome to Fate's Wide Wheel, a Quantum Leap podcast with Sam and Dennis. We are coming to you from our top secret headquarters at Project Quantum Leap, but you can find us online at fwwquantumleappod.com or follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Fate's Wide Wheel. And please do us a favor by hitting the subscribe button on iTunes. Hello, everyone. We here at Project Quantum Leap wanted to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving to start off with, and also give you a brief episode here for the holiday week. Basically, we had a conversation, sort of a segue out of some other things we were talking about in one of our recent recording sessions that has some important information that we wanted to discuss and opine about. So this episode's going to be condensed. It doesn't focus on one specific episode of the program as our other episodes have. This is something that's just more focused on a little tidbit of information that came out about a week ago or so. So we hope you enjoy. As always, we are open to your feedback and love to hear what you have to say. So please feel free to reach out to us, especially about this particular topic, because I think that it's something that Quantum Leap fans in particular probably have a lot to say about. So enjoy this abbreviated episode and have a wonderful, happy holiday, and we will be back with our regular scheduled full-length episode next week for the purposes of discussing Disco Inferno.
Right there.
Well, one other thing that we, you know, I don't know if we want to do this right now, because maybe we don't have time for it, but we do want to address, as many fans probably are aware, that Donald Belisario at the LA Comic Convention a couple of weeks ago announced that he has written a script, a Quantum Leap script, and he and Scott Bakula were on a panel, and he announced this and just threw it out there. Why don't we just quickly share some thoughts? Dennis, go for it.
My thoughts in short are almost an identical thing was said at a similar con back in 2010. I don't think Don Belisario was there, but Scott Bakula mentioned that Don Belisario had written a script, and unfortunately, as he was afraid of, he's going to be too old to return the role of Sam, and so it would probably be a reboot. And so this just sounded close enough to that, and nothing obviously came out of that announcement in 2010. I will believe it when I see photos from the set.
Yeah, even then I'll believe it when it airs. Yeah, well, and you know, of course, the rumor mill is already chugging along, talking about a Netflix, it being like a Netflix original or something like that. I have conflicted feelings. I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast. I'm fine with there not being anything else. I don't want a reboot. I don't. You know, I just, at this particular point in time, I feel so good about the show that was that I don't need to see someone else come in and reimagine the show. Just tell me a different story. Just tell me, you know, there aren't a lot of reboots, quite frankly, that have actually worked. When I'm thinking right away, all I can think of is Galactica. I can't think of a lot else that I'm just sort of like, man, what a great reboot.
Well, I mean, and, well, Battlestar Galactica.
In television.
I'm talking about films.
Yeah.
And Battlestar Galactica, that's one of the series that it's on my list. I've never gotten around to seeing it. I've heard it's great. I'm sure that I would enjoy it. I think it benefits from the original series was not all that well known. It was more well known that it was bold for a network at the time to do such a outright science fiction TV show. The original series is not remembered much more for beyond that. So there were not expectations for the reboot series to live up to.
No, and the reboot show is completely different. You know, I mean, it really is. There's character names are the same, the two opposing forces are the same, and the situation of kind of like, you know, being on your own is the same, and everything else is completely different, you know? And I don't need to see that in Quantum Leap. Just tell me a different time travel story.
if you're going to give me Quantum Leap, then you damn well better make it a sequel. And that doesn't mean that Scott Bakula has to be in it. That doesn't mean that Dean Stockwell has to be in it. That doesn't mean that Sam Beckett has to be anything other than the guy who got lost in time once upon a time, and now we're trying to figure out how he did it. Fine. But if you bring Quantum Leap to my screen and have a, you know, a new actor playing Sam Beckett and a new actor playing Al Calavici, I'm going to watch the first episode out of curiosity. And if you prove me wrong, by all means, please do so. But my gut instinct is to say I will not watch it.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. I will probably give it more than one episode. Quantum Leap having been so much part of my life, I'll probably stick with it. Like, even if I hate it, I will probably hate watch it.
Can't do it. I tried with, you know, Star Trek Discovery.
Sure.
We talked about that recently. I was like, I tried to watch it, and I was like, I can't do it.
I would like to see a reboot, and some fans may see this as sacrilege. I want it taken out of Don Bellisario's hands. I want to see the same story, but I want to see a fresh perspective on it. I want to see it from a storyteller who's not afraid to do a serialized story. Like, make it those individual episodes that Quantum Leap was, but don't be afraid to do a serialized story. Don't be afraid to do more difficult stories. Trust your audience. Trust that they will get the premise so that you can do those more difficult stories.
I don't know. I would rather somebody come along and reboot Journeyman, you know, that time travel show that mm-hmm. was what you're talking about. It was serialized, and it was very much, you know, and a lot of people compared it to Quantum Leap because it was the only thing that was remotely like Quantum Leap that was on TV at the time. And, you know, and that show, it was good, and it didn't get a fair shake. It, you know, nobody watched it, and it was canceled after half a season or whatever.
Just because I didn't have cable at the time, so I didn't even.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was on CBS or something.
Actually, I thought it was on NBC.
Maybe it was on NBC. Maybe it was on NBC. But anyway...
I mean, I hear you saying, yeah, tell a different time travel story. I think what came almost close, and I know you haven't seen the movie yet, Source Code.
Yeah.
Source Code plot feel, it's probably as close to a Quantum Leap movie as we'll ever get, unless they actually do bring something. What's interesting is after the movie, which was a moderate success, I believe, in 2011, they were going to...
make a TV show, right?
They were going to make it a TV show, but then I think they fell back and they're just going to do another... movie. And I don't know whether Jake Gyllenhaal is going to do it. The premise lends itself that they could.
He might be busy being Batman, apparently.
Oh, that's new to me.
Yeah. Well, there's all the rumors about Affleck not wanting to do it anymore, and so apparently they're quietly looking at Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's interesting. Yeah. But the premise of Source Code lends itself, if they wanted to bring in an entirely different actor, it would.
Yeah.
It would completely work.
I just, like I said, I think that, you know, a sequel series, if done well, and as I say this, all I can think of are those terrible freaking Knight Rider sequel TV shows that they tried to make in, like, the 90s or whatever, and then there was the one, like, 10 years ago or so. But anyway, they were terrible. They were just awful television programs. They were done in such a way that they didn't need David Hasselhoff, you know? And it's like, if you give me a good... quality sequel series that doesn't necessarily need Scott Bakula, I might be on board for it, but I would still question why.
My fear would be is that, you know, Quantum Leap, at the beginning of it, Sam, the character, was in his early to mid-30s?
No, that's the funny thing. Actually, Sam Beckett is technically in his 40s.
He would have been in his 40s.
Yeah.
But even, like, the actor, to fudge that a little bit,
yes.
He's still in his 30s. There is such a push now on TV to make the main character of a show in their 20s. And I'm afraid that that's what they would do, is they're going to make Sam Beckett or whoever the new character is... somewhere.
Oh, he's going to be like a child prodigy who graduated from MIT when he was 16 and had his 7 doctorates by the time he was 20, and, mm-hmm. you know, created Project Quantum Leap by the time he was 23 or 24, and he started leaping around when he's 25. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's exactly what they would do.
Yeah. I mean, even in Matt's book, where they reference when they were going to reboot the series back in the early 2000s, they were going to use Sammy Joe,
yeah,
a character introduced in the last season of the series, but they were going to fudge her timeline, and they were going to make her 10 years younger than what she should have been.
Yeah.
And that was a directive from the Sci-Fi Channel, where the series was going to air. It was like, no, they really wanted an actress in her early to mid-20s.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I feel bad because I would much rather be the person that looks at something and says, you know, give me a reason not to like you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna be predisposed to like. That's how I was with Discovery. Like, I approached Star Trek Discovery saying, give me a reason not to like you.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they did. And it sucks because there's so much I liked about the show, you know, the new characters, the you know, the exploration of all sorts of different things that they've never really done before, but unfortunately they don't know how to tell a good story anymore. And that's where they lost me. It's like, you can have the most diverse cast ever, and that can certainly be attractive to me because I want to see that on my TV screen, but if you're not going to tell me a good story with those characters, then why do I care?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing them a disservice. And that's how I would feel about Quantum Leap. It's like, if you're going to give me this new show, it better be good. Otherwise, why should I watch it? When there's so much other stuff out there these days. You know, I mean, there's stuff. I haven't even watched the new Punisher TV show, you know, which I want to watch. Now, granted, it just came out 2 days ago, so whatever. But it's one of those things where it's like, with so many shows out there, I can hardly keep up as is. Now you're going to take something that clearly means a lot to me from my childhood. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a podcast about it almost 30 years after the show debuted. Clearly we're fans of the show, but I'm not going to just sit here and watch it just because it's Quantum Leap.
Fair enough. I will watch it just because it's Quantum Leap. I will hate it. Like, speaking of another time travel story is, I love the Stephen King novel 11/22/63.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When they made the miniseries on Hulu, I went in almost certain that I was going to end up hate watching it. And sure enough,
yeah,
I ended up hate watching it. I hate watched all 8 episodes.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to see what they did with a book that I enjoyed so much.
Yeah. I mean, look, if it comes out and we're still doing this podcast, which it probably won't because we'll be done in like a year and a half, but if it comes out before that, or if there's rumblings of it, then clearly we will watch it and we will talk about it.
We'll do a reboot podcast.
On Fate's Wide Wheel, yes, exactly. Otherwise, you know, I'll get to my China Beach podcast or whatever. I don't know. I'm just making shit up. But
there are so many shows you could do a podcast about.
Yeah, that don't have one or maybe only have like one. Mm. And then there's like, you know, Star Trek, which has like 80. Or Doctor Who, which now has like 50.
I'm sure there are times.
Whatever. Because I love Doctor Who.
It crosses my mind sometimes since we've started doing this podcast. It's like, I just want to go like, oh, I wonder if there's a podcast about this TV series. And look it up. And I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't done that yet. The other day, I was just looking for something quick and easy and familiar on Netflix the other day while I was cooking in the kitchen. Like, The Twilight Zone popped up on my
phone. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, I've seen so many, but I have far from seen every episode.
Sure.
Of The Twilight Zone.
There's a damn good Twilight Zone podcast out there, actually, that I really like. I'll have to remember the name of it, but it's great because he kind of does what we do. It's a really, really well done podcast, actually. And they're usually pretty short. They, you know, shorter than we are. Mm. I was a big fan of it. What the heck is the name of it? I wish I could remember. The Twilight Zone podcast. Well, there you go.
Well, you're going to do that.
Easy
enough. When you get the first one, when you're the first Quantum Leap podcast, you just call yourself the Quantum Leap podcast.
And
when you're the third Quantum Leap podcast, you call yourself Fate's Wide Wheel.
And he's been going now for like 6 years. And he, you know, he's not been uber consistent with the release of episodes, you know, maybe like one or two a month sometimes. But it's great because he's got some great interviews. He's got one episode, which is actually a lecture that Rod Serling gave at like UCLA in the 60s. And it's fascinating because it's just like Rod Serling talking about TV and producing TV and writing The Twilight Zone. And then he's got one that's an interview with Rod Serling before The Twilight Zone aired, talking about the show. And it's fascinating hearing him talk about how, like, he dodges some of the politics and stuff, and he's just like, we're just making a sci-fi show. And you know Rod Serling in the back of his head is thinking, oh, I'm doing a lot more than making a sci-fi show.
Oh, God, yeah.
But I'm going to tell you that that's all I'm doing, because if I don't, then my advertisers are going to bail on me.
Yeah.
But it's really cool, because just hearing about, like, TV and the way that TV was made at the in the dawn of television, you know, in the early 50s is so cool. And thinking about how Rod Serling started off as, like, a writer for TV in Ohio. Like, that was a possibility, because back in the day, local networks created their own programming. And that was, you know, nowadays, if you're going to write for TV, you have to go to New York or California. Mm-hmm. That's it. You can't write TV from Indiana, you know? And so to just think, you know, 60 years ago, you could be in a small market in Wisconsin writing television. And if something gets noticed, next thing you know, you're on a plane to New York, you know, and it's really cool. The history of it is always fascinating.
You'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's a good podcast, because it does go beyond just the episodes. But when he does talk about just the episodes, it's really good. It's really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, we have digressed enough. I think we, you know, as far as...
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed what you've heard or have any questions or comments, don't be shy. Reach out to us online at fwwquantumleappod.com. or Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Fate's Wide Wheel. And remember to hit the subscribe button and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you may be listening. Until next time. Can't